Hi, this is Pastor John, and you've come to www.johnecoleman.org. It's January the 2nd, 2010. This is the webcast for this Saturday afternoon. I received an email question the other day, and the email question wasn't a sensitive one. It asked me, and I was kind of surprised to hear it because I'd never heard a question like that. A brother asked me, he said, "Pastor John, do you have to be 501c3 to start a home church?" I said, "Wait a minute, wait. I'm meeting in my own home." Hold it. A home church. Church is the ecclesia, a group of individuals that gather. The church could be Buddhist. The church could be believing in Jesus. The church could be believing in Islam. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm talking about the term church in the Greek, the called out ones, ecclesia. You don't have to be Christians to be the church. Anybody can meet anywhere. People are meeting anywhere, everywhere, all over, right now, without government approval. A home church doesn't have to be government approved by the government. As a matter of fact, when you go to the New Testament scriptures and you go to the very first inkling of a church, they were home churches, and they were illegal because they worship someone other than Caesar. So if you worship someone other than Caesar, you were deemed wrong. So we're going to have a discussion right now on what it takes to put together a home church. I mean, with all of the latest things coming out on what these people are involved in terms of, let's say, Rick Warren trying to get more money. And then when you look, my friend Ringo got a set of videos up he started off the new year right on YouTube. And Ringo just has some beautiful clips up about these pimps and what they're doing. I've been saying for years that the church has lost its mind. I used to be a pastor in one of those organizations, you know, the buildings and selling the building and getting a new building and everything because it was growing. I told you people that I even mentioned to the people in the church that I was in that we shouldn't buy another building, that we should just take all the money that we have in this thing and just buy another building, and so we can go meet and have simple Bible study. No, let's make it bigger and better. Let me tell you something. As that organization grew and grew and grew, it just turned into a cesspool. So I no longer believe in organized Christian groups like that, because that they call ministry is just money whores. It's just to get more money. And you got to bring in more people to get more money. And then as you do that, you got to appease more people to get them to give money. Because if you preach to them what's exactly in the Bible the way it is, if you've listened to anything on my website, you know that you're going to lose those people. This is a fact. You have to know that. You're going to lose those people. Oh, background music was not Timothy Armstrong, but the background music was, and I played it with permission, from the Flavor Alliance, okay? And it's an instrumental of a real song called Little Jesus, kind of like a hip-hop beat there. And they sent me the CD, and so I play it. Fresh Rotations is what they call it. I want to thank them for sending me this CD. It goes well with some of my commentary. What does it take to build a house church? Okay, let's get serious about it. Well, you aren't building anything. The real question is, what does one have to do in order to have Bible study in your home with a group of believers? Well, first of all, you got to have a room, and I like to say that room ought to be dedicated. Nope, you don't have to check with the government. Nope. Your home or your apartment should be insured in case you have somebody coming in that's going to trip and fall and hurt themselves and try to sue you. Be very careful of the people coming into your home, first of all, because everybody's coming in there is not legitimate. Some of them will try to sue you right up front. These people are not Christians. These people are religious jugheads. That's what they are. Be careful of the people that will come to your Bible study that are not coming to study the Bible with you, but to argue with you. Some of them are preterists. See, I believe in a literal rapture, that the church will be raptured and caught away. Some people will come to your home studies to argue that point. Well, I don't believe it, and blah, 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 blah. And if you win the argument, they'll do something in your home, steal something, tear up something, heathens. Now, so this should be a tremendous caution for you about the people that you have coming into your home. It's interesting, as I was watching the Ringo clips this morning, and they got this clown on there talking, you know, showing folk how to mega-size your church, which, and Ringo is right, and anyone that would think that God, my Lord, I don't even want to go into the conversation. You got to be an ignorant buffoon to believe some of this stuff that these people are saying. My friend Kevin called me and was asking me had I seen the stuff, and I hadn't seen it yet. But I mean, you know what? It's ignorance personified. Folk want to be ignorant, let them stay and be dyed in their debauchery. My tolerance is gone. I think I lost a lot of it in 2008. And the Lord has been dealing with my heart already in this year, telling me to ease up. Just give it to him the way it is. You'd have to be an idiot to believe that God is blessing mega anything. Especially when it comes to the truth about the Savior, Jesus Christ. God is not into no mega mess, because most people don't want to hear about the true Jesus of the Bible. So, you want to open up your home, your apartment. Someone will let you use their garage, set up a few chairs. Doesn't have to be anything comfortable. Make it mandatory that people bring a Bible. Hopefully not a Eugene Peterson Bible. Hopefully not one of those Catholic Bibles with all those extra books added to it. I'm talking about a Bible. If you want a good study Bible, I highly recommend the MacArthur Study Bible, okay? That's the kind of study Bible that you need, one with exegetical study notes that's going to help you fully understand the writ that you have in front of you. All right, second thing that you have to do is, if you want to start a home church fellowship, is you got to answer the question, who's going to be the Bible teacher? Who is going to be the person presenting what the Bible means? Now, this may be difficult for some of you because, and I'm going to tell you why, because if you come out of a word faith background, if you come out of a religious background, if you come out of a charismatic background where you have the wrong interpretation of scriptures, you've been polluted by error. And if you've been polluted by error, you may not, if you're thinking about starting a Bible study, you may not want to think about starting something if you don't know what you're talking about. And what I would ask for you to do, again, is look at the James text that makes it perfectly clear. I'm just leaning back, getting my Bible here, and I'm going to turn to it verbatim right now and so that I can read it to you. Make sure that you have the proper kind of Bible teacher teaching your Bible class. If they don't meet this requirement, it may be very, very dangerous for your Bible study group. In the book of James, I'm turning to it now, and James chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we," meaning the teachers, shall incur a stricter judgment. He says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. See, in other words, he says, don't be stumbling in and with the word of God. You know, you can't read a text that speaks prosperity to you, and God never meant that. If you're going to look for a Bible teacher for a home fellowship, for a Christian fellowship, at least find someone that has a history of teaching the Bible and teaching it truthfully and laying out those specifics to the people that they are teaching. It is important that you do that. We're going to meet tomorrow out in Porter Ranch, and that's the first Sunday of 2010. We're going to meet up there, have a big dinner for the Christians out there that gather with us. And Pastor Sean is going to bring the message. I'll be serving communion. And we don't need government license to do that. You don't need a government license. Now, Sean has been educated by me over 3 years in ministry, in the garage. When you see me doing lectures on YouTube, that's the room that my associate pastor, Pastor Sean, the big, tall, bald-headed guy. He's the guy that's my associate. He studied theology with me for 3 or 4 years. He and his wife in that classroom. Now, what kind of study have you had? Who have you studied under? What's your track record? See, don't try to. Now, it's all right for you to open up your Bible and have a few friends to read the scriptures and to pray about those scriptures that you understand. But to get into in-depth Bible study, that takes a discipline of studying the Word. That's why it says in James 3 and 1, don't many of you call yourselves to be teachers. I know a lot of people that think that they're teachers. They want to teach, and they're disqualified just because of their behavior. See, God checks me all the time. I got a phone call. And this brother loves me a lot. And I, you know, he loves me a lot. And I, you know, and I had to stop doing what I was doing. Because what I was saying, and it's a local brother here. And what I was saying was, I don't want to deal with people. I don't want to deal with this man. I don't want to deal. And then the Lord spoke to my heart and says, I put that in you. But then I said, but you know what they say about me when I have these close relationships with men. Am I going to start off, man, it was all over again. Am I going to start off 2010 with all of this? And the Lord spoke to me and said, nothing. He just nothing. It was like he was daring me. I dare you not to love. And when I told the man that I'm going to meet with him Monday, for breakfast, he was just elated. He was just, how can I put it, giddy that we were going to spend some hangout time. And I said, okay, Lord, see, because I'm a Bible teacher. That's what I do. I love people like that. If you're going to be a Bible teacher, if you're going to start a home fellowship, and if you don't love people to that degree, what are you having them in your home for? You know, it doesn't make any sense. You don't need a 501c, whatever. You don't need to even let the government know you're doing that. It's not about that at all, because true biblical Christianity is not a business. You don't have to register it with the government. You really don't. You don't. I did before, and since I am employed as a pastor, I pay taxes on that money because that's just something that I do. I want to, it's like an income coming in. Everybody else pays taxes. This is the government that I live in. I render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But the government don't need to know that I'm meeting with a group of Christians in my home. It's none of their business. I'm not afraid to advertise it. It's all over the internet. the government wanted to find me, it's very easy to find me. If Christianity becomes an outlawed folk way in this country, they know where to find me. I'm not trying to hide. But no, you don't need any of that. Also, you don't need a bunch of people to start a home fellowship. You, your wife, and your children. Let's start there with the family. Have a regular time when you and your wife, your children can sit down. Somebody come by, you tell them we're having our Bible study time, and they say, can I sit in? Sure. And if you have an extra Bible, you give it to them. Let them open up that extra Bible and check out some of that home study Bible fellowship interaction with that other person. Now, if you do it properly and if you do it well, meaning that you have comfortable seats for them to sit in and you offer them something to eat, like a little food, tidbits, snacks, tea, coffee, whatever. And if they come back week after week after week after week, then you can call yourself the church where you meet. The ecclesia, the called out ones. And you do that faithfully. You don't have to ask for any money from anyone because you're working. Now, if you're a pastor type and someone wants to bless your life, I had one of the members tell me yesterday I was leaving their house and I told her that I'm not going to be working for about 5 weeks. And so she said, well, if you get down where you need a little food, something like that, you know, we got you. I just got through eating some black-eyed peas, rice and green and cornbread and grilled salmon. And it was delicious. I didn't pay a penny for it. Pastors are taken care of by the body of Christ. That's why these guys don't have to ask for any money. It's ridiculous when I see those pimps asking for money. Like that ridiculous Rick Warren asking for $900,000. But I told you folk that that game was going to be up. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Why didn't he ask Obama for some change? But you know what? Rick isn't the one. The professing church are the ones that tickle me. Because they've bitten into the lie that the church is a business. And the church is not a business. It is not a marketing scheme. When you look at Joel Osteen, when you look at Charles Blake down here in Los Angeles on Crenshaw Boulevard, in that hell house full of homosexual vipers, it is sickening. When you look at Fred Price, man, for a man to drive his son into word faith debauchery is a man that doesn't even love his own children. But don't get me started. They've raped the church, or what call themselves the church, because a real church knows better. Real church wouldn't buy into it. You can hear me speaking about some foolishness that John MacArthur put out in the so-called professing church. Want to cut me off like I'm... No, I know what it is. You can't even receive the truth. That's one thing I like about Ringo. Ringo is just a lot like me. Ringo's going to say it just the way it needs to be said. I don't know what his motivation is. I know what mine is. Mine is disgust. I grew up in it. God never told me that he was going to keep me in that. He just told me one thing. Tell them what I reveal to you. Well, I'm revealing to you right now that the organized Christian church, which is an organized business religion thing, is nothing but a hoax. There is no salvation in that. None. And for those of you that think that you have to pay, now don't get me wrong. If you go to school, you pay for anything. I taught theology classes for years. And my students paid the stipends. They paid because of my time. Man, just hours a week teaching theology. only for naught, because I want to see results. My pastor used to tell me, results count, excuses don't. So to answer the question, no, you don't need government, and whomever told you that was a lie. And if somebody told you that, that's a member of a church, he's or she is a lie. Break away from them. Open up your Bible and read it in your backyard, in your patio, in your living room with a group of individuals. Don't block anybody's driveway. Do it for as often as you want to. It's your right and privilege and obligation to do that. You don't even have to name. I call mine the Anselm Fellowship, named after St. Anselm, the great apologist, who defended the faith. That's why I named it Anselm, because of who he is. Read up on St. Anselm. A-N-S-E-L-M. But you don't have to name your fellowship anything. Just call it Koinonia Fellowship. Call it We Meet. It doesn't matter. Well, I guess that's it. Don't have too much more to offer for you. I don't think there's too much more than I can say about that. I want to thank you for coming to my website. I plan to do some more work on it, fix it up, have it looking a little bit more decent. As a matter of fact, that's starting next week because I'm off from teaching. And so I'm going to take that month to really focus when I'm here and I get up early in the morning. If I can get out of this holiday mode, I'm going to take my time and attempt to focus on how to straighten up a little bit more and make it a little bit more easier for you guys to follow, okay? All right. Hey, listen, thank you for coming to the website. Whatever you do, you know the drill. Stay into the Word 2010. You're a big fat hen, since you want to match some stuff, right? No predictions. It's going to be the same thing. Either you are going to obey Christ and do what he told you to do, or you are not. Simple as that, right? Stay strong. We'll